Sharp Money, Mike Somich. I'm Patrick Maher as we welcome you in. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, wherever you find your podcast, we appreciate you doing so. This is the formula. We're here on Sunday night after Kansas City just beat up on my Lions 30-17. You can download the show into Monday. We'll be back on Thursday as the Lions bake. We look ahead to Week 7. Just quickly here, Samo, just two teams in Week 7 on the bye, Baltimore and Buffalo. Actually, coming up in Week 8, you're going to have six teams on bye, so that's the busiest as far as the bye. Now, we'll finish with a little hockey, a little baseball, and in particular, a great doubleheader on Monday Night Football. You got Buffalo, Atlanta, and Chicago, Washington. But we start, we're going to run the board. Firstly, how are you, Samo?
I'm doing good, man. It was a fun weekend, fun Sunday. You mentioned hockey. We had a full slate on Saturday. Got to see every team in action, so got a little takeaway from the hockey side of it. And then baseball, we can commiserate together on this one because both of our teams, the Cubs and the Tigers, go down in Game 5. Yours was a little more bloody than mine.
Too soon.
Well, I'm down here too on baseball, so I thought it was okay if I bring.
No,
it up.
I know.
Tragically ended our seasons there.
Yeah, Friday night. That was one of those games where I woke up on Saturday. Did that happen? I mean, it was a great baseball game. I was proud of the Tigers, but Mariners advance. And as we join you on Sunday night, the Mariners with a Raleigh home run win Game 1 ALCS. Let's do this. Let's start with maybe the most unwatchable football game I've ever seen. I caught it second quarter, and that's 2:51. Denver was at the Jets in London at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Denver closed 7, 43.5. Denver wins 13-11. I'm not really sure where to go with this, but I do know Aaron Glenn at 0-6. It may be a one and done.
It really might be. I mean, I'm not going to, like, I don't want to start calling for coaches' jobs because I'll do that later in the show here for a couple of head coaches. But the clock management and decision-making from Aaron Glenn was literally laughable. At the end of the first half, you've got a timeout. You've got the ball around the 50. You just let the clock run out instead of trying to gain yards and kick a field goal when your offense has been absolutely anemic or just throwing it up in the end zone. That would have been fine, too. Chooses to do neither of those things. And then the last play of the game. And to put into perspective kind of how bad the Jets were on offense, Patrick, I have never seen this in my life in modern football. Justin Fields has net negative 10 yards passing for the game because he's got 45 yards through the air, but 55 yards lost in sacks. He has 9 completions and 9 sacks in this game. Yes, sacked as many times as he had completions. Yet you bypass a, not game-winning, but game-leading field goal from 61 yards to throw the football on 4th and 8. I don't know what we are thinking here. I mean, you're in a football stadium over there. Let them see to kick the ball at least, because they had to watch just 3 hours of pain through that entire game. I feel bad for anyone in London who thinks that's football. That game was atrocious, and the Jets' offense was pathetic.
Yeah, Aaron Glenn not going to Tyrod Taylor. That's mistake number one. Fields was just, he was so bad, it was sad. But I'll just say this, because a lot of people thought because Aaron Glenn was coming from Dan Campbell that there was going to be that urgency, that chemistry, that, hey, let's go win this football game. The way he handled the end of the second quarter going into the break was as soft. It's counter to the way he presents himself, and that doesn't look good in a locker room. Garrett Wilson going after the coach on the way to the locker room. They had over 3 minutes with timeouts and just played to get to the break. That's as soft as it gets. Terrible. 0-6 Jets.
Inexcusable. And honestly, the defense, which was really the issue through the entire season, zero takeaways, just giving up points on points on points. Defense played well in this spot.
Great
for the Jets. If you told the Jets heading into that game they're going to give up 13 points to the Broncos, they'd be like, awesome. How much did we win by? And yet you lost by 2 points in a game where somehow they took the lead with a safety in the third quarter. Yet that field goal late for Denver is the difference. I mean, this was a brutal game. I was upset with myself for waking up and watching the entire thing. I don't know what to say about either of these teams, because this is a Denver team that could easily be 6-0, yet you then see this game and you're just kind of wondering what's going on, people.
Yeah, the Denver offense was non-existent. Sometimes you do wonder what to take from these travel games in London. However, I don't come away thinking anything positive about Denver and the Jets, who, by the way, are hosting Carolina in week 7, are laying 1.5. Have fun with that, Samo. 45.5 on the total. Panthers, Jets.
Yeah, this one is this one's interesting, man. I'm tempted to go Panthers here. Look, the Panthers, and we'll talk about them a little bit later, and we'll jump into this game in full force once we talk about the Panthers, but they've been pretty good for 2 weeks now. And yeah, it was a bad Cowboys offense, but Rico Dowdle, man, he was bad Cowboys defense, but Rico Dowdle, man, he's been rolling for 2 weeks now, and I don't know what to expect from the Jets coming off of this loss.
Yeah, and then you've got the Giants headed to the Broncos, and the Broncos laid 7 today against a Jersey team. They're going to lay 7 next Sunday hosting the Giants.
This is kind of a sneaky fun game. The look ahead was 8, so we're seeing some Giants upgrades. I think that's more than the Broncos downgrades here. That Giants team is fun, man. I enjoy watching Scadaboo. I enjoy watching Dart. We'll see if they can stay healthy throughout an entire season, specifically Dart, because of the way he puts his body under such duress in and out of these games. But I'm interested to see what this Broncos team can do on offense, because I feel confident that the Giants will at least move the football. Will they turn it over? That's another question, but they will at least move the football against Denver.
Yeah, the Giants went from, I like to say, having nothing to a lot of it, whatever it is, with the two rookies in the backfield. So we'll get to that coming up here in just a bit. Next one up, good job on Samich. You had it with the situation, and that is Pittsburgh, 253, 23-9 over Cleveland. I ended up getting the 6.5, and I was just waiting for them to cover. I was never expecting, if you watch the game, Cleveland to win this football game, but the cover was always kind of hanging around. Close 6.5, like I mentioned, 38 on the total, so it does stay under, lowest total, obviously. Your takeaways from Pittsburgh and Cleveland here?
Pittsburgh's not a good football team.
This was
all about the spot for me, and watching this game kind of reaffirm that. There were multiple opportunities for Cleveland to try and backdoor this thing in the fourth quarter, and they just could not get it done inside the red zone. The running game doesn't work for Pittsburgh. Aaron Rodgers still looks cooked to me. Like, once you start facing real teams, I think this Pittsburgh team is a full fade moving forward. Look, on the Brown side, it's time to start moving your pieces. Trade some of the offensive linemen. You're going to be able to get draft picks back for them. Try and figure out if you can move Judy, if there's a place for him. There's a lot of different pieces that would have value for other teams, and you're not good. You're not good with this quarterback, with Dylan Gabriel. You're not good with this offense. You might as well starting to figure out what you can get for them and focus on next year, basically, and start figuring out what you're going to do in the draft.
Yeah, I guess the takeaway would be the Steelers' defense, but watching this game, Cleveland was not into it. There was no juice on the sideline. There was nothing. Like, Gabriel had 52 pass attempts. Judkins had 12 rushes, 36 yards. Like, this was a listless Cleveland team in Pittsburgh.
You hit the nail on the head on the pass attempts, man. Gabriel can't be throwing the ball 50 times. You're not winning any games if Gabriel's throwing the ball 50 times. And it's not like this was out of hand either. We went to the break 9-3. This was a run script for Cleveland, because you were not chasing. And then you kind of put yourself in chase mode because you just had Gabriel dropping back to pass behind a terrible offensive line with a team with a good pass rush. Like, I don't understand why we didn't just try and grind out the clock, try and slow the game down, and reduce the number of possessions to increase variance. Instead, we're just tucking it all over the yard with a third-round rookie that people were shocked was taken in the third round. It made no sense from a coaching perspective.
Tomlin paradigm. He's going to win that division. He's going to finish with a winning record. And I'm not sure it's a very good football team. It feels like the same script over the past few years when Duck Hodges was in there throwing footballs for him. But here they are. One loss.
They're not going to win the division.
Okay. We can get to that. let's do that. But quickly, Pittsburgh and Cincinnati is going to be our Thursday night game here, Samo, to kick off week 7. And Pittsburgh's going to be laying 5.5 on the road.
Yeah, this is too much. This was one of those spots where it was actually 6.5 at open. I bet some 6.5 with Cincinnati. We'll talk about this one in full, but this Pittsburgh team is fake good. They're very much fake good. And I'm not sure Cincy can beat them, but Cincy is going to be able to put points on the board against that Pittsburgh defense.
All right, let's go to division and take a look. So right now the Steelers are a $1.75 favorite in the North. The Ravens, who are going on bye, it's the perfect time for them, obviously, as they lose today. They're +175. The Bengals are 20-1, and the Browns are 65-1.
I think you wait until Thursday. If you like the Steelers, who are 5.5-point favorites, and they win, then you come in on the Ravens after that. If you look at these two schedules and the comparative of them moving forward, the Steelers have gotten through the easy part of their schedule here. That's why they're sitting at 4-1, okay? They played the Jets. They won a fake game against the Patriots where the Patriots turned it over five times. They beat the Vikings, which was an absolute mess of a game over in Europe. They come back, beat the Browns in an atrocious spot for the Browns. They've got the Bengals on Thursday night. You know what happens after that, Patrick? Packers, Colts, Chargers, Bears, Bills, Ravens, Lions, Ravens. It is a much more difficult schedule. And you flip over and you look at what the Ravens have coming out of the bye. It's a spot where they can win eight straight games in some situations. I mean, it's Bears, Dolphins, Vikings, Browns, Jets, Bengals, Steelers, Bengals, Pats. Packers is the tough game. And then Steelers again. I realize you're down four games in the division. If you win both head-to-head games, you are down two games with a significantly easier schedule than Pittsburgh. I'm hoping we get plus 250-ish if Pittsburgh wins on Thursday night, and that's when I'll be dipping my toes in those waters.
Yeah, 1-5, but here comes the bye. They're going to get healthy, and Samich laid out the schedule perfectly for you there in the north. The Cleveland Browns, off that performance, are going to be hosting your Miami Dolphins, and I've got a 1.5 right now.
Yeah, well, I've already bet this one, too. I took the Dolphins plus the 1.5, and we'll talk about why after we talk about this Dolphins game.
We shall get to that quickly. 255, Arizona was at Indy. Jacoby Brissett in for an injured Kyler Murray. And Indianapolis needs a last drive, pardon me, at 31-27 to pull this off. They did close 8.5. I saw 9 out there as well. We both like the over here. It does go over. But Indy continues to roll in Arizona. Another heartbreaking loss for them.
At least they played well today.
They did.
This was a very weird game. So before the game, Anthony Richardson gets ruled out because he literally broke his face with a stretching band. It snapped and hit him in the face. I'd feel awful for the dude. It's just an unlucky thing, and those bands have a ton of power to them when they break. So really weird situation. Their top cornerback, Ward, was running backwards, and a tight end ran right into his head. He got a concussion before the game, so you lose two players. Obviously, Richardson not that important, but you lose your number one cornerback heading into it. But Marvin Harrison ends up leaving the game for the Cardinals midway through the second quarter, so a lot of funky spots in this. The Colts were kind of lucky to survive here, Patrick. They needed a 14-3 fourth quarter. They also got very fortunate a pass interference wasn't called in the end zone, because Trey McBride was 100% interfered with. It would have been first and goal on the one with, I believe, right around a minute left had that pass interference been called. You got to think that you're going to get in the end zone from the one, and then it would have been Indianapolis who would have had to come back down. I thought this was a much better effort from the Cardinals, and they looked, I hate saying this, they looked like a more professional football team with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback.
Well, he threw for over 320. They had 400 total yards on offense. It just looked crisper. They didn't even run the ball, and Brissett was able to navigate. And like you said, McBride was interfered with, could have been a loss. Looking ahead, Indy is headed to the Chargers. The Chargers are 1.5.
We'll talk about that one after the Dolphins game, because I want to get your take on the Chargers. This team is just befuddling to me.
Yeah, the befuddling is a good word. The next one up for the Colts. Excuse me, who's coming out of that? Arizona. The Arizona Cardinals are going to be hosting the Packers, your Packers. Packers laying a big number on the road, 7. I'll take the 7 there.
See, it was 5.5 on the look ahead. Now, I think the look ahead thought that it was going to be Kyler Murray. I'm not sure if we get Kyler Murray. Now, they called up a third quarterback on Saturday before they announced he was out, so it kind of was the writing on the wall. I think you got to keep an eye on that, see if they have their third quarterback active or not. If they do, that kind of tells you that Murray is going to be down again for next week. I kind of want Kyler Murray to play, because my survivor that was on Pittsburgh, I kind of want to put on the Packers next week, because 54% of the pool went ahead and used Green Bay this week in what was really not a bloody week at all in Survivor. Pretty much everyone survived, so not too much of an update coming from that perspective. I don't trust this Cardinals team, and I want to see. It felt like this was the effort, Patrick.
Yeah.
After last week, we talked about it, how there's two ways this goes. either they straight out quit or they come back and play one of their best games. They came back and played one of their best games. I think it's going to be hard to get up again next week.
Well, Kyler was very weird at the podium after the loss last week, and the fact that the team played better without him and seemed a little rejuvenated, not great. 257, the Rams, a business trip. Now, Nacua potentially injured here. They're at Baltimore today. The Rams laid 7. They did cover the number. One of the ugliest football games you're ever going to see. It's a 17-3 winner for the Rams. Cooper Rush got pulled in this game. They were booing all over Baltimore. It was gross.
It was gross, but you know what? Baltimore won the box score. Like, if you go through it, Baltimore had more first downs. They outgained the Rams 296 to 241. Derrick Henry goes for 122 yards. Here's the thing, though. They gained 4.7, the Rams did, yards per play versus the Ravens 3.9. So it was a lot of possession here for the Ravens. They had the ball 38 minutes versus the Rams 22 to be able to rack up those stats. This game swung at the end of the first half when Baltimore had first and goal from the one and was not able to get in. After back-to-back Mark Andrews tush pushes, they then just turn around and hand it to Derrick Henry, which everyone in the world knew was coming.
Yeah.
That lack of creativity kept them at the one-yard line because the Rams were able to stop them. And then we saw the Rams come out and just house them in the third quarter, 14-0, and that was game. If the Ravens had scored there, because the Ravens were playing with passion, it was a proud franchise that had their back against the wall in that first half, and then they just don't have the dudes. That's the problem. In the second half, they just didn't have the dudes. Rams able to get the job done, but this is a Ravens team which got a little healthier today, is going to get a lot healthier over the bye. I'm telling you, this Ravens team is not dead as the way that everyone is saying. Oh, they're just done. They're dead. Will they win a Super Bowl? Probably not, because now their road is going to be their path is going to be on the road. They're going to have to go to Kansas City. They're going to have to go to the Chargers. They're going to have to go to Denver. They're going to have to go to the Bills. Like, wherever it is, it's going to be on the road, and that makes it a lot more difficult for me to back Lamar and the Ravens in the playoffs. But they're going to win some football games coming out of this bye.
Yeah, they go to their bye with a loss, but the bye comes at the perfect time. Buffalo, that other team on the bye, we'll get to them coming up here in just a bit. Kind of a weird schedule spot for the Rams, if you take a look, Samo, because they're going to turn around, fly back here to Los Angeles from Baltimore, and then fly cross-country to Jacksonville next Sunday, and the Rams are laying 3.
Well, they're actually going to fly to London. So this is,
oh, is our, that in London?
This
that,
is
thank
our
you.
London game.
Top so of the I wonder.
They're
so
they have to be. Going
they're not going to. They're not going to be coming back to Los Angeles.
No.
There's no way.
No, there's no way. Then Shanahan, McVay, they've been the business work trips, right? Where you're doing a retreat somewhere for a week, all that jazz. Once back to back East Coast games, I'd be shocked if they are not.
They won't come back.
Yeah, they're already on their way to London there, and so you're going to get the Jaguars, which are very used to playing in London, versus a Rams franchise that's going back to back road games and having to fly over there. The Rams are the more talented team, but Puka Nacua absolutely matters. Look ahead on this was 3.5, and now you come back and we're sitting on 3. So you're getting a little bit better of a price on the Rams, but that's a lot injury-related more than anything else. And I'm excited to get your take on Jacksonville as well, because this is a team that I talked about kind of being fake good, and it felt like they got a little bit exposed this week.
Yeah, in my tier, I had them at, they're good because their record, I guess. So I'm right there with you. And actually, they're up next on rotation, 259, Seattle, a 2012 winner over Jacksonville. I mean, the big story coming out of this is, again, he's a superstar, Jackson Smith and Jigba. I also, when I did catch pieces of this one, I think Darnold just looks very competent. And Jacksonville, again, Lawrence off one of their biggest wins over the last 10 years in franchise for Jacksonville on that Monday night against the Chiefs, just a nothing burger. I mean, it really was, you know, I'm looking just quickly at Lawrence. He had 42 attempts, 2 touchdowns, no picks. Outside of that, they couldn't run the ball against Seattle. Seattle's defense is legit.
This was one of the more pathetic performances I've seen from a Jacksonville team in a while. And that's saying something, because I do not like these Jacksonville teams anyway. The Seahawks were down 4 starters in their secondary. Both starting cornerbacks. They were missing a safety. Their other safety left the game. They had another injured cornerback at one point. And Lawrence goes 27 for 42. The longest pass play of the day was a 26-yarder to Tim Patrick, which was a touchdown. But they tried and tried and tried to stretch the field and just couldn't do it. They could not make big plays happen. Lawrence kept throwing it out of bounds. It was out of the boundary. It wasn't catchable. It was an I thought, an awful effort by a Jacksonville team that had every right to be able to put up a 40 spot on the Seahawks here because of that secondary. And they couldn't take advantage of it. And that was a big problem for me, because we've seen this Jacksonville run game be able to set up the pass. And Seattle, very good against the run, just said, nah, you're not running it. Attack our second string secondary across the board and see if you can beat us. And they couldn't. The offense, on the other hand, Seattle, Sam Darnold's going to wake up as the number one rated quarterback in the NFL tomorrow.
Yeah, he was great.
He was awesome. And Smith and Jigba, who every person in the world knows is going to get the football, somehow can't be stopped. He had 13 targets, 8 receptions, 162 yards, including a 61-yard touchdown pass. How do you let him get behind you? The other wide receiver is Cooper Kupp, who I think I could beat in a 40 right now. And somehow Jackson Smith and Jigba is getting behind defenses. It's just wildly impressive what those two are able to do. Good win for Seattle, who, another team that could be 6-0. Like, Seattle lost two games that they could have very easily won and be leading that division. So I thought this was a very impressive performance considering the injuries from the Seahawks.
Yeah, we'll get to Baker, but Darnold and Baker battled last week. And you mentioned Kupp. Darnold had a touch pass. I think it was for a touchdown to mm-hmm. Kupp that was as pretty as it's... Like, he is so confident right now. Seattle's legit. That's one thing I would say. And Seattle is going to get Houston next Monday night. It's a good matchup. And Seattle's 3. Yes, I will take Seattle at home, laying the 3 against Houston.
Yeah, this was our look-ahead game from the article. Seattle, I believe, was 1.5. The last week on Wednesday, they were 2.5 before the games started today. Now you're seeing a full 3. I still like Seattle at 3. It would be Seattle or pass. I also like the under at 42.5. I think that's just, people seem to forgot that Houston sucks at playing offense. This is a terrible offensive line.
It's a good defense.
It is a very good defense. That's why I like the under at 42.5, as well as the Seattle -3. This total should close high 30s, 39.5, 39 flat, somewhere in that range, especially if Seattle gets their secondary back. But even if they don't, their pass rush will be effective against a bad Houston offensive line.
Well, total we liked to go over does 261, Dallas at Carolina. Carolina 30-27. What a weird season for Carolina, which we can touch on. Dallas, the bottom line is this: they're just not giving Dak enough. Because, I mean, Pickens was great again. Dak with 3 touchdown passes. But every time they needed a stop, they couldn't get one. Dallas.
They can't. I mean, Dowdle goes 30 for 183 on the ground. He has 4 catches for 56 through the air. No wide receiver for the Panthers had more than 36 yards receiving, and Dallas gave up 30 points. That is hard to do, Patrick. Like, that is not an easy feat. And it wasn't because Dak was turning the football over. Dak was phenomenal in this game again. 25 for 34, 261, 3 touchdowns, no picks. They couldn't run the football lick. It was all on Dak. And Pickens had a huge game. He goes for 168 and a tutty. No other wide receiver stepped up. Dallas is expected to get CeeDee Lamb back next week. But they are, until further notice, just a dead over team. They can't stop anybody.
Totally.
And Dak cooks. That's pretty much a Cowboys game.
No, Dak is legitimately playing like an MVP. I'll say this. I looked down, and the Panthers had 410 total yards on offense. Outside of Dowdle, I don't remember 1 yard. So that's what I'm saying. It's almost smoke and mirrors with Carolina, who 30, I believe, was the number they scored on Atlanta when they shut them out. So they've beaten Dallas 30-27, Atlanta 30-0. They went to New England and got boat raced. Like, this is a very Jekyll and Hyde, not a very good football team, but competitive.
They won last week at Miami when they were in a 17-0 hole.
Like, that's right.
Just what? Like, how did A, you get in that hole to Miami, and B, how'd you get out of it with this offense? So this is. I'm gonna put them in the frisky category. They are frisky against bad teams.
Very.
They'll get beat by good teams, but against bad teams, they're going to score points. And they're going to be a fun watch. So they're one of those can beat bad teams, but probably not going to beat anyone who's going to make the playoffs.
Well, that sets up perfectly. Good segue, because Carolina is going to Jersey to take on the Jets. Now, this would generally be where you would buy on the Jets. It can't get any worse. Here comes a perfect elixir of Carolina. I think it's going to be a long week in New York for Aaron Glenn, and it doesn't help that Garrett Wilson's going at him. The quarterback situation is a disaster. I think you might carry a little something over here. I'll take with Carolina in Jersey.
Yeah, I mean, it's also not a great spot for the Jets here. They have to travel across the pond and play the week after playing in Europe, where Carolina gets to play at home and then just fly up to New York like a regular road week. So this is a great spot for Carolina. I love them in teasers, because are the Jets going to score 10 points? Who knows? So the 8.5 looks awfully good if you tease the Carolina Panthers up there. I like them on the side as well. I don't mind the money line look. I think Panthers are absolutely live at the Jets.
Yeah, they got a little something. It's a weird team when you're watching them too, because the quarterback does not look overly competent, but they're picking up first downs. And Dowdle, that's the second week in a row he's gone nuts. Dallas, they're going to go home next week and get the Commanders. The Commanders are 2.5. Yeah, what was the look ahead here? And 54.5 on the total. Every time I look up with Dallas, it's the same as Houston. One we go under, the other we go over. What was the look ahead with Washington 2.5 at Dallas?
It was
division?
Washington 2.5 at Dallas, but the total was 52.5. So the market did adjust
up.
The Cowboys total up to 2 full points here. I love Kroski Merritt rushing props. If Dallas going nuts against this
yeah, right?
defense, like, give me some Kroski Merritt action here.
All right, 263, the Chargers. And again, some of these new kickoff rules, it's almost like if you have 30 seconds, you're going to put yourself in a position to kick a field goal. It's not really an issue. And that's kind of how this ended. Ladd McConkey with a great yak to win this football game. If you're Miami, this is so dispiriting. Another loss at 29-27. The Chargers do win. They don't cover the 3.5, and it goes over the 45.5. A couple things coming out of this. One, Tua is verbose, and after the game, Tua just started talking about how he's not happy with his teammates in mandatory meetings amongst teammates. Then McDaniel came out and said, well, everybody's good as far as I'm concerned, just not great in Miami.
No, it's not. And there were rumors of this before the season started, that
yes,
they already lost the locker room. Players were showing up late to meetings. Tua specifically mentioned some people were not showing up to Zoom meetings or computer meetings at all, or they're going to show up 10, 15 minutes late and then take their camera off. Like, that's terrible for an organization, and it just shows a lack of control, right? McDaniel's letting the inmates run the asylum in Miami. This should be it. It really should, Patrick. Like, after last week in that comeback by Carolina, then this week you're able to take the lead late and you give up. Like, Phillips had Herbert wrapped up.
Oh, it was a great play by Herbert.
And does not get him to the ground. And yeah, it was a great play by Herbert.
But you're right. You got to make that tackle.
You got to make that tackle. And then McConkey basically tricks the DBs into stopping by veering out of bounds, then just goes up the field and able to run for another 40, 50 yards, and Miami loses this game. It's just, there's a lack of accountability on that Miami Dolphins team right now. And I think Monday is Daniel's pink slip.
Yeah, I'm sure the snitching by the quarterback will go over well in the locker room with the vets as well. Just not good. They're headed to Cleveland. This might be a spot where Cleveland gets right, because Cleveland's 1.5 with Miami coming. Will they be bringing Mike McDaniel is the question.
Give me the Dolphins. I'll take okay. the 1.5 on the head coach bump. The head coach fired yeah. bump.
In term.
Shot. I bet this is 2.5 when it opened. I think Miami's a better team. I think the market is just so down on Miami, who, by the way, covered today. Every number. They covered every number. It was 4.5 and 3.5 in this game. Game also goes over. I think Miami's just better than Cleveland. And I'm not sure the identity of this Cleveland Browns team. I don't love the fact that Gabriel threw the ball as much as he did. Give me the points with the Dolphins.
Yeah, check us out on Thursday's Sharp Money to see who is coaching the Dolphins, and we'll have a better answer there. Next up, the Drake May Show, 269 down in New Orleans. Here's what we said, because it closed three. Closed three with New England covering 25-19. Again, you got a good performance. Good is used in quotations from New Orleans. New Orleans is going to hang around in these games.
Mm-hmm.
But we said, if New England is who we think they're going to be, they have to win this. They have to cover this football game. And they did. And Drake May was tremendous in the football game.
Yeah, hat tip to New England, who, first off, Drake May, you hit the nail on it. He was awesome. Again, he was absolutely awesome in this game. This offense is legit for the Patriots. When he's at the helm, he can run, he can throw, able to get Boudy involved with two touchdowns today. You've got Diggs making plays out there for you. They need to figure out the backfield. That's still a little bit of a mess. Huge defensive play in the fourth quarter when the Saints essentially get the ball to midfield and the Patriots punch it out, create a fumble that flipped the field back, which made it much more difficult for the Saints to be able to try and go down the field on their next drive. I played Saints plus 3.5. I'm not upset with myself. The handicap was simple. I thought the Patriots would be a little sluggish. They were a little sluggish in this game. I thought that this would be a one possession game, and it was. It was just the wrong possession. It was 6 instead of 3. This is a win New England needed to have. It was a professional win. You got to be impressed with what they're doing.
But I think this is the stretch, because we talked about a very professional win in New Orleans, but that's followed up by headed to Tennessee. Now, this is obviously a Vrabel spot going to Tennessee, where it did not end well. But again, you're the better football team. The number indicates that. They're 6.5. What was the look ahead, Patriots at the Titans?
6 and 43.5.
Okay, so they've been bumped up a little bit.
Yeah, and I think it makes sense. Tough spot for the Patriots. Again, this is back-to-back-to-back weeks. They're going to be on the road. You do not see that very often in the NFL, 3 road games. And the travel isn't bad when you're going to play the Bills, but then going down to New Orleans, coming back, going to Tennessee, coming back. It's not like these long cross-country trips, but it's also not ideal to be on the road 3 straight weeks. I think the fact it's a Vrabel spot really helps them in this particular travel spot. Because when you could say they're going to be down a little bit, sure feels like they get up for their coach. They get up for Vrabel, which they very much, this is a team that likes Vrabel, which means they will rally around him this week. And I think that makes the difference in a bad travel spot for New England.
I think this is the one game Vrabel had circled on his schedule all year. Maybe you want to use it in a tease, but I don't know if I'd be afraid to lose the number. I think they're going to come out with a purpose. And I think he's smart enough to understand if this is going to be a playoff team, New Orleans to Tennessee, we've got to take care of business. And we can get to Tennessee coming up here in just a bit because, well, first off, New Orleans. So New Orleans is going to be at Chicago. We'll have more on Chicago after our Monday night game, of course, on Thursday, Sharp Money. But New Orleans, Chicago, right now I'm looking at a 5.5 with Chicago.
Yeah, the New Orleans getting a little love in the market. This was look ahead with 6. So we're seeing people kind of agree with my stance that New Orleans is going to be in a lot of these games. They're going to play one possession games. And when they're catching 6 points, 7 points, they become a very attractive dog, especially taking out a team like Chicago. Now, we'll see Chicago tomorrow night. We'll talk about that game toward the end of the show here. I don't want to bet New Orleans until I see what Chicago looks like off the bye. Ben Johnson with an extra week to prepare. I mean, we saw with Green Bay, I know that they didn't blow out Cleveland, but we saw how much better Golden was this week, their rookie wide receiver, with that extra week. Now you've got guys like Burden that they can introduce into that offense more. And you've got a coach that now has been a head coach for 4 weeks, can understand what to do in the bye. I'm interested to see how Chicago comes out of it. I don't want to bet this game until I have an answer on that.
Next one up here, Sharp Money 267. All right, so you can take these two teams, one being Tennessee and the other being Las Vegas, and shoot them to the freaking moon, because this was a Vegas winning cover 20-10. But when I tell you Vegas was just as bad as Tennessee in this game, I don't care if they won by 10. Wow. First off, Callahan, he is going to ruin the rookie, and Ward is certainly having rookie growing pains. He'll have kind of flashes and flourishes during a game, but you can tell he's overwhelmed. It's a terrible Tennessee team. Conversely, Vegas, woof. Geno with another pick, and they just kind of ended up winning a football game.
Yeah, look, the Raiders defense dominated. 6 sacks, 2 picks, 1 fumble, or I'm sorry, 2 fumble recoveries, 1 pick. They set up the offense for a 3-play, 2-yard drive in the first half. That's how
That's
they were
right.
up 10-0 at the half.
Turnover.
The defense got a strip sack fumble at the 2. Without that, this would have been a 13-10 game. And that is pretty fitting to what I actually thought we saw on the field. I mean, if it were not for this terrible Titans offensive line, the Raiders defense, this was a close game. Total yards in the game, 226 for the Raiders. 225 for the Titans. Titans also lost Calvin Ridley at the start of this game. Now, the Raiders didn't have Brock Bowers. You can really see how much he matters to this offense.
Yeah.
But we came into the season saying, hey, don't worry. There's an adult in the room at head coach, and you've got a professional quarterback. I'm not sure either's true. I'm not sure there is an adult in the room at head coach, and you do not have a professional quarterback in Geno Smith with the way that he is playing. How smart does Seattle look right now, by the way, from moving on from Geno?
Was a great, first off, you shave off 5 or 6 years. Mm-hmm. But secondly, Geno is just playing horribly. He does not like the Kelly offense. You can tell the system is not fit to him.
So yeah, I downgraded both of these teams off this game. Like, I don't love anything. I do have a question for you, Patrick.
What's up?
If Callahan and McDaniel both get fired tomorrow, who cashes first coach fired tickets? Is it the first press release? Is it the first
That is a tweet? Great... I would think it, each book is going to handle it differently, but I would think if it's on the same day, it would be... They'd void them, but that's a tremendous question because they both could be gone tomorrow.
I mean, it is live. It is 100% live that both of them are fired by the time that I wake up tomorrow morning on the West Coast.
Yes, it is.
I am fascinated to see how this plays out at books. Maybe we'll get a firing tonight. I doubt it since it's already 9 o'clock.
I think the timestamp is a little... That's a fascinating question. I hadn't thought about that.
It is 100% in play.
Maybe some books will just pay both.
Yeah, maybe pay half of the number, right? Call it a tie, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, Callahan should be fired. He was atrocious in this game.
Like, he looks lost.
He doesn't know what he's doing. The team doesn't really care about playing. And this is just a mess. It's a mess of a team. That brings us to that Titans-New England game next week. I don't think the head coach fired bump helps Tennessee.
No, I don't think so either.
I don't think they have any good players. So
their defense is so... That's the reason it was hilarious. Maybe I'm being hard on Vegas here, but they couldn't get anything going on offense against a horrific... This Tennessee defense is terrible.
Yeah, it's not good. I mean, Genty averages 3.3 a carry, gets 75 yards, but he took 23 carries. Trey Tucker is your leading receiver, but that was mainly buoyed by a 37-yard pass. Geno Smith goes 17 for 23, which sounds great until you look at 174 yards and one pick. Just not... aggressive downfield with the football. These are two bad football teams. They are two bad,
terrible
teams. And I agree with you. Lay it with the Patriots. The Patriots should be a smash spot for them with how bad this Tennessee team is.
Vrabel is going to be so keyed. Vegas is going to Kansas City. We'll get to Kansas City because obviously they just came off a win over Detroit. What was the look ahead? Because my assumption is, look, Penny's showing 13, FanDuel showing a 10.5, DraftKings is showing 11.5. So Vegas and Kansas City all over the map right now.
Look ahead was Chiefs minus 10.5, total at 45.5. So
that's going to get bet hard on Kansas
Penny's
City.
At 13.5.
Mm-hmm.
Go bet a number better than 13.5. Penny is correct. That is where this game is going to end up in that 13.5, 14-ish range. Guess who's back?
Kansas City.
Rashee Rice.
Yep, that's right. Week 6, week 7, he's back. And the offense, let's hold it because we'll get to it. But the offense today was 265. San Francisco at Tampa Bay. It's not even being fair to Baker to say he was great in this game. He's a Hall of Famer. I mean, he is playing at such an elite level. I'm sure you know the play I'm talking about where he picked up a first down running the football where he's dialed in where he wants something more than you, and it's just permeating the rest of the football team. Catches being made that shouldn't be caught. Defensive stop. Like, this, it's a vibe. I know you hate the word, but it's a vibe right now down in Tampa, and they're a 30-19 winner. Cover the 3.5. Couple of things here. Go ahead and take San Francisco and point to next year. Fred Warner is gone. So that means Bosa and Warner, by far and away their two best defenders, are done for the year.
Yeah, I think we got our second over team, Patrick. I think that you're going to see points from San Francisco still, but their defense is not going to be able to...
Matt Jones was completing everything every time I turned around today.
He was slinging it today. 347 yards passing on one leg. You don't blame him for this loss. This was the defense that just couldn't get a stop. And I don't even really blame the defense. You're missing Bosa and Warner. They had three good players to start the year. They've got one now. The defense is just kind of crippled. But let's talk about Baker Mayfield, because that play where he broke four tackles, stretched out with the arm.
Incredible.
Then flexed on him afterward. Baker Mayfield plays with 12 chips on his shoulder, not just one. He's got a freaking boulder on his shoulders, and the rest of the team absolutely loves it. The dime that you're talking about was that the long pass to
Tez Johnson
in the end zone, 45-yarder. His only
somersault.
Only catch of the day. Caught the back half of the ball.
But it was a great throw.
It looked like Baker was going to get sacked. And then all of a sudden...
It's so much pressure.
Moonball.
He is playing. First off, say MVP right now. He is easily your third betting favorite. Allen's plus 185. Pardon me. Mahomes, who should be in the discussion now, is 2.5. And Mayfield is plus 425. The next one up is Goff at 14-1. And that's a correct number on Mayfield. Mayfield is in the running for MVP.
100%. And we've talked on your show, VSiN Primetime. We have talked about. I'm sorry, it's not VSiN Prime. What's your show? Give your show a
VSiN
plug.
Live.
VSiN Live. There on Mad Dog Sports.
It's all good.
I always flip them around. We got VSiN Live on Friday. We talked about Cal Raleigh, the MVP, right? And well, the MVP candidate and the narrative that built behind Cal Raleigh throughout this season, mm-hmm. right? The 60 plus home runs. He wins the home run derby. Seattle makes the playoffs. He's the big dumper. Everybody loves him. Baker Mayfield has that narrative building. His narrative is going to be better than Josh Allen's narrative when the season ends. Does that mean he wins? Maybe. But he has that advantage in a award that is going to be voted on that Josh Allen has won before and he has not.
To further that, he's winning every press conference.
Yes.
His press conferences, people walk away saying, oh, how much they love Baker. Like, he is... He's really at a transformation. It's pretty incredible. He's winning everything on and off the field right now. I think he's a legit MVP.
And to your point of San Francisco's season's over, let's look at Tampa Bay, who is just as banged up right now.
Igbuka.
He hurts his hamstring. You've got McMillan, who's out until week 9 or 10 with a neck injury. You've lost Mike Evans. He hurt his hamstring a couple weeks ago. He's expected to be back. You've got Godwin. He missed the early part of the season, played 2 games. He missed this week. He's going to be back as well. The offensive line should start to get a little healthier. Their defense, no one's season ending. This is a Bucs team that is the worst version of themselves right now. They are going to get better.
Correct.
As this season goes. Oh, by the way, Bucky Irving didn't play today either. They're going to get better as this season goes. They're 18-1 to win the Super Bowl. It ain't crazy, and they're going to make the playoffs. I do not mind that number on the Bucks at all.
Irving didn't play today, and I'm just taking a look because it felt like, yeah, they ran for 104 yards. Mm-hmm. So it was White, it was Tucker, it was Baker. It's a team, man. It's pretty fascinating, and it is sad, and we'll take a look. Atlanta's headed to San Francisco. San Francisco's 3.5. Now, we'll find out more about Atlanta when you download this tonight in Monday night against Buffalo hosting them. But again, Shanahan's done a hell of a job. No Fred Warner and no Bosa, and essentially been playing without his wide receivers all year. And without Purdy, obviously, but the season's over. I mean, you can't continue with this type of hit.
It's brutal. It's brutal for a Niners team that's 4-2 and leading the division, and now you have to face these defensive injuries. Look ahead for this game with San Francisco minus 4.5, total at 45.5. You can get one rogue 3.5 on Atlanta in the market. Go over to DraftKings. If you have a DraftKings account, snap up some 3.5 with Atlanta. It's 3.
Yeah, that's what
else.
I'm looking at. 3.5 at DraftKings right now.
Yeah, it's a painted 3 everywhere else with a total sitting at anywhere from 45 to 46.5 to the over. I don't mind popping the 45 over either, because this is you're expecting Pearsall back. You're expecting Kittle back next week. This is going to be a more healthy offense for San Francisco, and the defense is going to be tragic. I like the over there at 45 as well.
Tampa Bay is headed to Detroit on Monday.
Ooh, banger, Patrick.
It is a banger.
We'll talk about that after you commiserate.
Yeah, we will. And also, you're going to have to wait to understand exactly what Tampa Bay is looking at as far as injuries.
Yes.
Thursday will probably help us with that on Sharp Money.
And Detroit, which we'll talk about again.
The second. You want to talk about the secondary?
The third day,
We're 2 games away. Yeah, right? 271. Cincinnati with Flacco today. Hang in there against Green Bay. A 27-18 winner. It closed 14. It was sitting on 14. Then the Bengals came down and answered, hit the 2-point. So then you knew if you had the number, you were good. Flacco was a big upgrade from Browning. That was the takeaway from the Bengal perspective.
Yeah, look, Flacco's just going to let it fly. That's really the difference. Browning just didn't let it fly enough. And when you have T. Higgins, you have Jamar Chase, letting it fly is a good strategy. I mean, Jamar Chase made a couple catches where I have no clue
Like, the touchdown catch was unbelievable.
Sick. He had one where he was literally the defender is directly in front of him, and he's reaching his arms out around. I don't even know how he saw the football and catches it on the side and just pulls it in. Browning's not throwing that football. Flacco's like,
no.
YOLO.
Whatever.
Like, and when you have Higgins and Chase, it makes it interesting. A little disappointed in the Packers' effort, but to be honest, this game got a little wacky late. Like, this was a 10-0 Packers lead at half. It should have been more. They had a turnover, a Love pick that was actually a Dobbs pick where he caught the ball and then just kind of threw it up in the air for no good reason. So you get a turnover there, or else they would have scored on all three of their first half drives, and then this game is very different. They answered every single score with their run game, with their pass game, whatever it was. They got Golden involved, which I thought was a very positive thing because you need Matthew Golden to be good if you're going to stay banged up at the wide receiver position. I'm not downgrading the Packers off this. I do think that, like, you upgrade Chase and Higgins from a fantasy perspective, from a prop perspective, they're going to get theirs when Flacco's the quarterback. How long he's going to be upright, who knows? But until he falls down, they're going to get theirs.
Yeah, I'll say this. I had 14.5 in Cincy, so I watched this very closely. There weren't many games on, obviously, late.
Late, kind of bad.
Yeah, kind of fortunate. You're fortunate to get a cover here if you were on Cincinnati like me. I know it sounds weird when it was only 27-18, but Green Bay had a lot of opportunities to really go at it, and it kind of felt like they were sleepwalking in the second half a little bit, where going into the break 10-0, they should have been up 17-0 there.
Yeah, I had flashbacks of the Green Bay-Cleveland game where Green Bay was up 10-0 until late in that football game. They never really stepped on the throat, and they ended up losing that game. We should mention Trey Hendrickson leaves this game with a back injury for the Cincinnati Bengals, their only viable piece on the defense, and a highly coveted trade target. Really rough break here for the Cincinnati organization because they were going to get a boatload for him up at the deadline, and we'll see what happens with his health. But that downgrades one of the worst defenses to be even worse in the NFL because Trey Hendrickson was the entire pass rush for this Bengals team.
Yeah, the Packers are headed to Arizona, as we said, and the Packers are 7.
I mean, I want to know who the quarterback is for Arizona because, ironically, if it's Kyler Murray, I like the Packers. If it's Brissett, I'm not – like it makes me a little
I'll take the 7 with Brissett. That offense was legit. Now, let's take a look at the total as we look right now. I'm just curious at the Cardinals because they're both going to score if Brissett is playing 43.5. Okay.
Yeah, down from the 45.5 look-ahead. Which is interesting to me because I think it's a Harrison and Brissett move. They're not sure if Kyler's going to be in, and so they downgraded the total. I'm not sure I agree with that.
I don't think I agree. I like the over 43.5. I mean, I expected 45.5 when looking at it.
If Kyler can't run, Brissett's a better quarterback, right?
Yes. He threw for 320 yards today.
Like, he just is a more professional button.
Yeah, he's a pocket passer.
Yeah. And like, Kyler can't see over the line. And if he can't move, it's a problem. Yeah, I'm not going to this is probably going to be my survivor game. I'm going to be trying to talk people into using the Packers here because I think this is a good spot for them, and there's not a ton of great spots for the Packers down the road. So we'll hopefully get through with the Packers there. I like the Packers as a teaser leg. I agree with you. I think over 43.5 is not a bad look.
Yeah, I like that number. Pittsburgh, pardon me, is Cincy on Thursday. So quick turnaround for both, and we're going to be in Cincy, and Pittsburgh's laying 5.5.
Yeah, look ahead here was 4.5, and we reopened at 6.5. Total 43 was the look ahead. Now we're sitting here with the total at 42.5. I love the points. Like, I bet the 6.5 right when this dropped. I was planning on like backing up the Brinks truck if I got a 7. It went the other way. I think the market is right. I would still play the 5.5.
I'll play the 5.5 all day.
Since he's going to move the football, and this defense for Cincy's not good. The offense for Pittsburgh is bad. Like, they're bad. Give me the 5.5 with Cincy.
Yeah, I like the 5.5 at home on a short week as well. All right, that brings us to 273, Detroit at Kansas City. Kansas City closed 2.5. That number really didn't budge much and ends up closing everywhere 2.5. Kansas City, a 30-17 winner. I'll keep the Detroit Lions over here, and then let's go over to Kansas City.
Okay.
Kansas City is going to be an effing problem.
Watch
because
out.
That is about as innovative an offense, where it was just waves of misdirection, RPO, and Detroit, as you astutely pointed out, have nobody in the secondary. But I don't know if they were healthy, if it would have mattered. They were mixing it up, and you can just tell what Worthy does for Mahomes and then also for the running backs. They're now running the football. They're getting 4-5 yards a chunk. Hunt's all of a sudden popping. Pacheco's popping. This Kansas City team, this is a better version when Rice comes back than what we saw in the Super Bowl last year.
100%. This is the, like, Pacheco is the Undertaker meme right now. Because all of a sudden he's just rising from the dead. It's like, wait a second, you're running angry again. You're high-kneeing it. You're running for over 10 yards every game. What's going on here? And so, like, if that's the Isaiah Pacheco that gets better as the season goes along, that's going to be a problem for people, because let's remember how good Rashee Rice is. I don't think everyone remembers how good Rashee Rice is.
Tremendous. He's wide receiver one for them. Easy.
He was, like, talked as a top 10 NFL wide receiver starting last year. People thought he was going to go off, and he gets hurt early in the season. We don't get to see him. He came on his rookie year and looked great. Now you have Worthy, who is the two. You didn't have a two when he was awesome. You didn't have a two last year at the start because Worthy was a rookie. It sure seems like they hit on back-to-back wide receivers, and that this is going to be the start of the next real Chiefs rush on the offensive side.
And they're using Worthy so creatively, and which will be even more accentuated when Rice comes back and the run game gets better. Kelce had over close to 90 yards receiving tonight. Hey, we need 4 yards on third down. Just go squat. That's all they need him to do at this point.
You know what he reminds me of? Like the 50-year-old dude at the park playing pickup basketball.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A bunch of 18-year-old guys. Where he's just like, I got a jump hook and you can't block it.
On the other side, the first drive of the game, if you're a Detroit Lions fan, you knew that there was something weird happening when Goff under center, he splits out, Montgomery takes the, but Goff never settles, he scores, it's called back, they have to kick a field goal. Everything was just off in the Lions universe when they didn't use the balls that Campbell shows all of the time to, you know, do what they do in that situation. They had to settle. And then, to be honest with you, I'm really not going to take much away from them because I was that impressed with Kansas City. You know, Ross St. Brown on a big third down had a drop. Fourth and two. Good job. I'm not really, because of the injuries on defense, I'm not really taking much away from this game as a Lions fan, except that I thought Kansas City looked fantastic.
I am going to give you a compliment.
Thank you.
I thought, not you, the Lions. I love you too, Patrick, but the Lions a compliment. I thought this was really smart by Detroit. I thought their game plan was incredibly intelligent. I mentioned this on Ready, Set, Bet. If you're the Lions, you take the football. Because you then want to keep Mahomes. You need a lead because you do not want to be chasing in this game. The game state had to be Detroit in the lead because of your secondary injuries. You need to run the rock. 10-minute drive to start this game.
That was beautiful.
That was exactly what they wanted. You're limiting the possessions. You're keeping Mahomes on the sideline. Your biggest weakness is a secondary, which is missing their top four cornerbacks going back to August. You need to keep him on the sideline and run the football. They did just that. They just couldn't get in at the goal line.
But you see my point about almost like the karma of not scoring the six there and settling for the three after they had done everything that you just talked about perfectly. These long drives where it's just so innovative. Two innovative offenses as well. Yeah. I interrupted you. Go ahead.
I thought Detroit was great. I do.
Yeah. I don't have any problems with them coming out of this.
It's important to me that with the new OC, they can still properly do the right thing because they are so versatile. They can run the football. They can throw the football. They can beat you in multiple ways.
And Goff was great.
But so the fact that they came out and understood what they needed to do, I think, is a positive for Detroit.
I agree.
And they're just simply short. They were undermanned. Look, this defense needs to get healthy. I feel like a broken record. It's like last year. The Detroit defense never got fully healthy after the injuries started. They need to get back to fully healthy. They need to get their secondary back.
Yeah, the big takeaway is Kansas City is going to be a freaking problem.
They are going to be very good at football. Again, if you're sick of them, maybe take a couple months off.
New wrinkles on offense, like they were just...
Good call by you saying that they were so creative with Worthy. Well, Worthy doesn't have to play wide receiver one next week. He gets to just be the gadget dude. So you're going to see him just running everywhere. He's going to get rush attempts. You're going to see double reverses. It's going to be wild what they can do with Worthy, because now Rice is the guy who is out there catching the 8 yard out and moving the chains and threatening. He is the one who takes over the wide receiver one role. So Worthy can be that true gadget dude, and then he could be in the slot, and then he could be in the backfield. You can move him all over because you've got Rice. I think it's going to be fascinating to watch.
I was blown away by the diversity and the orchestration from Mahomes. Just a note, he's pretty good.
Yeah,
he is so in control. It's unbelievable. And just running the football, he's their leading rusher. He had over 30 again tonight, picking up big first downs when needed. I'm not down on Detroit coming out of this. I'm higher on Kansas City.
They ran the option, Patrick.
And Patrick, everything was RPO. It was crazy. I know. And then he flexed into the end zone. I know. They've got Kansas City. Kansas City's got Vegas. We talked about that. If you can get anything sub 13, I would lay it.
I mean, you're not.
It's 11 and a half at DraftKings right now.
You're not wrong.
How are the Raiders, that team that I just saw today against Detroit, and I think Detroit is very good. How are the Raiders going to stay within 11 and a half here?
You know, the funny thing is the Raiders always seem to play the Chiefs.
They play great in Kansas City.
No idea why. No clue. You know, Crosby will be hyped up. He loves playing against Patrick Mahomes. I don't know how the offense moves the football for the Raiders. I don't see Genty being able to run, and then it's all on Geno Smith, and I don't see it ending well for them. We talked about the Pinnacle line, which is a sharp line, specifically for offshore books. Pinnacle, generally a very sharp line, similar to kind of what the Circa versus DraftKings feel is here in the U.S.
Yeah, they're 13.
If they're hanging 13, that's the better number than the 10
Yeah, that's the number.
Yeah, yeah. So I would lay anything under – I'll say lay anything under 12 and a half. 12 or better, I'd be taking Kansas City right now.
I would agree. And then Tampa Bay is going to be Monday night at Detroit. It's a great game. 5.5 is the number, but I can't do anything with that. Injuries on both sides until we find out on Sharp Money on Thursday.
Yeah, we got to find out if we get any receivers back at all for this Tampa Bay team. And we got to find out about that secondary. Because if it's the secondary's back and the receivers aren't, that's a problem. If it's receivers are back and the secondary isn't, that's a problem for the other side. So I don't want to bet this until I have more idea of who's going to actually play the game.
It's time for Monday night here, Sharp Money. Remember, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for downloading the program. Buffalo 275 is at Atlanta. Atlanta's getting love.
Yeah, they are.
Atlanta's getting a lot of love because I'm seeing a lot of 3.5s pop up on the board here.
Well, when you're cooking up a formula here of how to beat the Buffalo Bills, Patrick, you know what it is? Run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, play action. You know what Atlanta can do? Run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, play action. They have the exact formula you want to be able to score on Buffalo. Their defense is a little better, creating more of a pass rush than we saw last year. I still like the over. I
49 and a half, right? I'd love that.
There was a flat 49 in the market earlier. There's 50s now in the market, so we're seeing this get bet up. Go get a 49 and a half, take the over. Atlanta's going to be able to move the ball against Buffalo. Buffalo's going to be able to move the ball against Atlanta. You're going to get a pissed off Buffalo team coming off of that last game. You're seeing 4 or 3.5s in the market here. There's 1 4.5 at DraftKings. So if you want Atlanta, go to DraftKings, get the 4.5. If you want Buffalo, there are 3.5s available at Penny, at Westgate. So there are some places there you can get that number. This was really interesting on the contest show because I have never seen Circa a full point off market. So the entire market was a 4.5. Circa was 3.5. In favor of Buffalo. I asked why. They said we took multiple huge bets today on Atlanta. And that's why they moved first in that market. That tells you what type of bettors are taking Atlanta versus what bettors are taking Buffalo.
Yeah, sharp. And they're still 3.5. DraftKings is 4.5. And I'm not knocking anybody. I'm just giving you, and I do like the over there. 277, Chicago's at, well, I hate to do this, but I like the over. I like both overs on Monday night. Chicago and Washington, you can find a 49.5, and Washington's 5.5 on the game.
This is a game I'm not going to bet the side or the total simply because I want to see Ben Johnson out of the bye. I want to see what this looks like before I really commit onto which side I want it to go. I expect it to be good. I expect Ben Johnson to be able to move.
I think
football.
You're going to see a lot of diversity, as we saw with Kansas City.
They're going to be creative, and I'm excited to see that. I love Kroski Merritt. You can get him at 68.5 rushing. Give me the over on Kroski Merritt. This is a Bears run defense that had given up the 9th most yards in the NFL heading into this week. The problem with that, They played one less game than everybody else. They are second in yards per game given up to running backs on the ground behind only the Miami Dolphins. And that's because Miami gave up 200 to Rico Dowdle last week. So give me Kroski Merritt over 68.5 yards rushing. He takes over the number one spot in the backfield and runs wild against a terrible Bears run defense.
Hey, just quickly backing up, how about Bijan at 74.5 rush yards?
It's over.
You know what they're going to try to do, obviously, is keep the ball out of Allen's hands, and you can run the football against Buffalo. My assumption would be that you're going to see a lot of Bijan.
You would think so. I mean, it'd be over a pass for me. My one problem with Bijan overs, they give Algier stinking carries.
Yeah, they do.
Every
they
single
give him too
week.
Many.
And I don't understand why he's not as good. Like, Bijan's legitimately one of the three best running backs in the NFL, and you're like, but we got to get Tyler Algier some run. Like, I don't know what we're doing. Like, but maybe I want to look real quick to see what's the combined number.
For Bijan?
Rushing receiving is 110.
Yeah, 111 and a half.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be over rushing or passing.
Yeah, that's what I would do. You have to keep the ball out of Allen's hands. Wow, 3.5. So Circa got hit huge with Atlanta, huh?
Yep. I've never seen Circa a full point off the entire market. Painted 4.5, and Circa was sitting at 3.5. I had to ask Jeff and Derek about it.
It's a great question. Yeah, me too. Penny's 4, Buffalo. I'm sorry, but I like both overs on Monday night. Okay, and it's not as crazy in 2025 to be betting these overs in prime time like this. Now, before we get out of here, that's week 6. Again, your opener on week 7's Pittsburgh-Cincinnati. Sorry, America. And sorry to London. You know, Denver and New York was optically, aesthetically, one of the tougher, even just the color scheme. Everything about it was disgusting.
Mm-hmm. It was
a
hideous football game. I almost feel like we're still punishing the UK for the whole colonization thing when we're sending games over there. Like,
yeah, I mean, some would say
we're going to send Jacksonville over every single year. Like, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Hey, let's go. It's the Redcoats. Let's send them the Jets. Next up, before we get out of here, we could do this quickly. First off, for those that don't know, Samich is a huge hockey bettor, and we only had one game on Sunday, but Saturday was a smorgasbord, a cornucopia for you, as every team on the planet played, and it was just nonstop from morning to night.
It was awesome. I absolutely loved it. I love being able to watch hockey again. A couple things I want to say, just as takeaways here. First off, there are points props that I think are not properly priced right now. Early in the season, you generally lean toward overs in the NHL because the offense is ahead of the defense. You see a few more penalties. Points props are the same as they were last year, at the end of last year. So taking certain guys for 2+ points, like Eichel right now is +165, +180 for 2 points in a game. He's got two of the three games, he's gone over that number, cashed at +160 and +165, I believe, in those two games. Guys like... and this is one I gave out on Ready, Set, Bet on Saturday night. Guys like Celebrini for the Sharks, number one pick a couple years ago, absolutely dynamic, their best player. They play just an open style of hockey. They're going to play a lot of over games. The Ducks played them 7-6. Celebrini was +280 for two or more points. He got 3 assists in that game. The beauty of the points bet, you can get the second assist and it counts the same as the goal. And so it's a great spot to play two or more with some of these guys. So take a look for that. I also think the Wild are underpriced right now. This is a Minnesota Wild team that
Minnesota's good.
Awesome before the injuries last year. Get Kaprizov back, play very well at the end of the season. I think they're going to be very good at the start of the season. They're still getting priced like they were when they had people injured. So I think Minnesota an interesting one to look at here in the near term as well.
Wow. We had so many overs on Saturday.
My goodness, man.
I'm only counting 3 unders.
Yeah. Early season, you're going to get more goals. You get more power plays because you have people reaching more, hooking more. You've got slashes. You also don't have the playoff-style defense. The legs aren't fully under you because you only play 3 or 4 preseason games. It's an over-league early, and that's why I like these points props because they're being priced like it was at the end of last season, which to me is incorrect. The goals per game is just going to be higher early in the season here.
Stars Avs, a banger in Colorado, 5-4 overtime winner. Stars, those are two teams that I'm obsessed with watching. A lot of overs and good point on the points. the next up, the baseball. So a 3-1 win, Cal Raleigh with the bomb tonight. So a quick turnaround from Friday. I actually liked Seattle in this spot today because you carry over. It's almost like you're still high mm-hmm. from Friday, not tired. I think you then start to fade them tomorrow. That would be me. You Savage on the bump. Gilbert's going to be on the bump. I love Gilbert, but the kid is great for Toronto. This is where I think Toronto gets right tomorrow.
I think we head back to Seattle split here. You got to give credit to Bryce Miller, who's had some bad games this year. He goes six strong when that bullpen absolutely
very good
after they threw, 209 pitches or something crazy like that against the Tigers in Game 5. So really big outing there for Bryce Miller. That was a big boost for them. I mean, I want to say I like the Blue Jays in the series. I kind of feel like betting the Blue Jays in this right after losing Game 1 because you're going to get a much better price on them. I do think they have the better offense. And the pitching isn't that dominant for Seattle as we thought it was going to be at certain times this year. So I still lean toward the Blue Jays in the series. I thought this was a good spot tonight.
You get close to $2 now, plus 195 on a loss on the Jays in the series, minus 240 on the Mariners, Samich. And then the Dodgers are minus a $2 favorite, and the Brewers are plus 170. Blake Snell, you have. We are undecided on the Brewers starter, but you're going to have an advantage with Blake Snell, who's built for this, and he's probably a buck 50. He is a buck 47 to a buck 52.
Yeah, we talked about this. I bet a big chunk on the Dodgers at 3-1. I think it was plus 320 before the Philly series. Dodgers are winning the World Series, man.
Yes, they are.
They're just the best team.
No, that's very affirmative. They will be winning the World Series.
I wish I came here with something much more controversial than that, but. The number's down right now at the book I'm trying to look at. Anything 150, anything 125 or better, I would fire at the Dodgers to win the World Series.
They are buck 40.
It's right there. Like I originally almost said 150, and then I said 125. They're gonna house the Brewers, and I don't see either of these AL teams being able to beat them. So I like the Dodgers quite a bit, but 150 is a little expensive.
Ready, set, bet on Saturdays and Sundays, racingdudes.com and VSiN at the track for Mike Samich over at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You can catch me on VSiN Live on Mad Dog Sports Radio Monday through Friday. That's 5 to 8 West. So, yeah, I would say this about week 6.
Yeah.
I think Igbuka, you got to watch. Fred Warner being done at linebacker for the 49ers is just beyond massive. And Puka Nacua, you got to keep an eye on because he is that Rams offense.
Yeah, here's the thing. Sundays are kind of lackluster when you've got a London game, you have a Thursday night game, you got two Monday games. Like, you're taking four games and, like, you do, well, five games out of the 10 a.m. or 1 p.m., whatever, wherever part of the country you live in. You're taking five games out of the Sunday jam-packed slate, and it set up that we had a pretty bad.
The late window today was trifling.
It was awful. Like, the Bucks-Niners, thank God that game was interesting, because if that game was bad, I would have had to watch more Titans-Raiders, which was painful enough. I mean, I was having some PTSD after watching the Broncos-Jets, and I couldn't have watched that Raiders-Titans game. Packers-Bengals wasn't great, even though the score looks like it was fun. It wasn't.
No, it wasn't a fun game.
No. And even the early slate.
I'll say this. Kansas City-Detroit was because you knew you were watching two really good to great teams.
Yes. But what was the best game on the early slate, Patrick? Panthers-Cowboys? Like, is that...
It wasn't even that good of a game when I was watching. It's just kind of like, what was the best game early? That's a good question. You know what? It probably was Arizona at Indy.
Yeah. So not a great slate today
but that's okay. We could still bet it.
Yeah, that's the fun part. You can make it interesting with your dollars, your dinero there. So a fun week 6. We're moving along. Excited for tomorrow night. I do think we're going to learn something about a couple teams tomorrow night. So looking forward to that. And I do think I'm excited for Thursday night. I'm excited to have some Bengals money on Thursday night.
Yeah, let's go.
I want to bet against these Steelers.
Monday, two great matchups. We'll be here on Thursday for you, wherever you get your podcast. It's Sharp Money. Thanks, Amo.
You got it, Patrick.